to hear the Bible read to us, and then Tim's going to come and explain it to us. As a reminder, after that, we are going to have a question and answer panel, so there is an opportunity to ask your questions after the Bible talk. So be ready for that. I'll explain how that works afterwards. The words for our Bible reading will appear on the screen, or if you have one of the church Bibles on the way in, they're on page 840. And I'm going to invite Ash to come and read that for us. Thank you, Ash.
Today our reading is Mark chapter 5, verse 21 to 24, and then 35 to 43. And when Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by the name, and seeing him, he fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." And he went with him. While he was still speaking, there came from the ruler's house some who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." And he allowed no one to follow him except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. Then came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and Jesus saw commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. And when he had entered, he said to them, "Why are you making a commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but asleep." And they laughed at him, but he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was, taking her by hand. And he said to her, "Tatiana, Komi," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And immediately the girl got up and began walking, for she was 12 years of age. And they were immediately overcome with amazement. And he strictly charged them that no one should know this, and told them to give her something to eat. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Ash, thank you so much for reading the Bible for us just then. Please do keep your Bible open in front of you, page 840. We're in Mark chapter 5, verses 21 to 24, and then 35 to 43. I'm going to pray for us just as we start and ask for God's help that we might be able to understand the things that he's going to show us through this bit of the Bible. So Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you're a God who speaks, and we pray that you would speak to us right now through this bit of Mark's Gospel. We thank you that you're a God who is even more powerful than death. And as we think about this passage, would you reassure us with that truth that you have the life that we're looking for? Amen. Well, most of us live, don't we, as if death is far away. Here in the UK, we've become very good at hiding death. 100 years ago or so, people used to die at home, surrounded by their family. Whereas now, death often happens behind curtains in a hospital. Funeral services are shortened and cemeteries are on the edge of towns. And we avoid the subject, don't we? We avoid the subject by saying phrases like, "He's passed away," or "She's gone to a better place." But every so often, death refuses to stay hidden. A phone call comes in the middle of the night, or a diagnosis arrives at the doctor's office, or a hospital visit turns into something rather more serious than we expected. And suddenly, death is no longer a distant idea and it's standing right in front of us. And of course, for many of us here, perhaps here this evening, or in our wider church family from other parts of the world, this is not an abstract thing. We've got many brothers and sisters in our church family that are from Iran, and this is not an abstract thing for them. But when that moment comes, when death stands right in front of us, well, all the usual things that we rely on, money, status, control, success, all these things are completely powerless. So the question that we have is this: what hope does Christianity offer in the face of death? What hope do we have? Well, that's exactly where our Bible reading is taking us today. So do keep your Bible open, page 840 if you've closed it, or why don't you open your Bible app if you've got it on your phone, Mark chapter 5, 21 to 23 and 35 to 43. We're going to see three things this evening, and the first one is down there. The verses are on the screen behind me, and we're going to see hopelessness in the face of death. So our story begins with a man called Jairus who comes up to Jesus. Jairus is a big deal in his community. He's a leader of the synagogue. He's a leader in the community, and he's also a dad. But his daughter is seriously unwell. Jairus has heard that Jesus is an astonishing miracle worker, but more than that, he's an incredible teacher as well. And so Jairus thinks, well, maybe, just maybe, this Jesus can help my little girl. So have a look down at verse 22 and see what Jairus asks Jesus. He runs up and says, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come, Jesus, and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." This is faith in action, isn't it? Jairus sees his huge need, and Jairus turns to Jesus for help. But then Jesus gets interrupted. When Ash was reading, he skipped out this bit of the story, but I'll fill you in here. Jesus gets interrupted. Someone bumps into him in the crowd. Someone touches his cloak, and a seriously unwell woman gets healed. It's astonishing. This woman has been bleeding for 12 straight years, and with a simple, faith-filled touch of his cloak, she's healed, just like that. So Jesus turns to her, have a look down at verse 34, and Jesus turns to her and says, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." It's absolutely wonderful, but the interruption was fateful. Because Jesus was interrupted, and in those moments of delay, Jairus's little girl dies. People run over from Jairus's house, and they say to Jairus, well, have a look down at verse 35 and see what they say for yourself. They say, "Jairus, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" Why indeed? Jesus had healed many people. Many people who were deeply and seriously ill, but he'd not yet raised anyone from the dead. So why bother? Why bother asking him for help? What can anyone do now in the face of death? And maybe that's how you're feeling right now. Maybe you are asking right now, perhaps a situation comes to your mind right now when we're reading this story, and you're thinking, what can anyone do? Well, in our story, it's then that Jesus, overhearing this conversation, turns to them and speaks. Have a look down at verses 36 to 43, and we'll see what Jesus says and does. And this is our second point. Jesus overhears this hopeless conversation and says, in verse 36, have a look down there, Jesus says, "Do not fear, only believe." What do you make of that? Do not fear, only believe. What do you make of that? Is this faith in the most pathetic, pious way? Is it burying your head in the sand? This poor man's little girl is dead. What's going to change that? Has Jesus lost the plot? or is the plot about to take a turn? Well, Jesus strides off towards Jairus' house. He reaches the house and immediately goes in. He sees that everyone is understandably distraught. Do you see the words down there in verses 38 and 39? They're weeping and wailing loudly. That's the natural response to death, isn't it? Jesus walks in and asks, verse 39, he says, "Why are you making such a commotion? The child's not dead, he's sleeping." Which, of course, brings all the crying to a stop for a few short moments as everyone laughs, because it is a joke. The girl is dead. How on earth can Jesus say she's just sleeping? No, she's dead. It's worth adding here that there's nothing wrong with crying in the face of death. Jesus himself, when Matt was reading out that verse from John chapter 11, that part of the story, just before then, says that Jesus wept at Lazarus' death. So there's nothing wrong with crying. But undeterred, Jesus puts them all outside the room. And apart from Jairus' wife and three of his closest friends, and he goes into the room. And I want you for a second just to imagine the scene. They go into the room, and in the middle of the room, the poor girl, Jairus' dead daughter, lies lifeless on the bed. Jairus himself hasn't seen her yet. The last time he saw her, she was in a bad way, but she was still alive. Jairus' wife was perhaps there as she breathed her last. And Peter, James, and John, Jesus' three friends that were with him, well, they're standing at the edge of the room, and they're looking at what's going on. I want you to imagine that you are one of those guys. They are looking at this poor girl. They are looking at the poor parents. And then they look at Jesus. They know Jesus a little bit. He's this man that's made astonishing claims. He's claimed to be God. He's taught the Bible as if he'd written it himself. This man, Jesus, who'd done astonishing miracles. He'd cast out evil spirits. He'd healed people from illnesses and infirmities. He'd even claimed to forgive people's sins. But death? What can anyone do in the face of death? So they look back at Jesus. Could he do something there? Perhaps. Maybe. No, they look at the dead girl. Nothing can bring her back now. They are hopeless in the face of death. And all of their minds go back to what Jesus had just said. Do not fear, only believe. So Jesus wanders over to the little girl and does something astonishing. Do you see what it says down there in verse 41? Do have a look down and follow along with me. Jesus takes her hand and speaks to her and says, "Talitha kumi," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And immediately, the moment he says those words, immediately this precious little girl gasps. The color comes back to her pale skin. She breathes again and she stretches out her arms. She looks up and the first thing that she sees is the face of Jesus. And she smiles. She gets up and starts to walk around. She sees her parents. She starts to giggle and runs over to them. She runs over to her dad, Jairus, who picks her up, his precious girl who was dead but is now alive again. Jairus hugs his wife, and they have this wonderful, amazing moment. And then the three of them look at Jesus, overcome with amazement. Do not fear, only believe. Doesn't that suddenly make sense? That girl was heading for the tomb. But with Jesus entering the room, that tomb has become a bed from which she's arisen as if she'd just been asleep. Friends, this evening, this is who Jesus is. This is the Jesus that we follow. This is the Jesus that we worship. This is the Jesus that we know. He's the one who turns tombs into beds. He's the one who brings life. Can I ask you, what do you make of that? What do you make of this Jesus? Well, our third point, we need to fast forward into the future. Because as astonishing as this story is, if we were to fast forward another 70 years into the future, we would see another tomb. And this precious little girl would be lying dead again. We don't know how the rest of her life story plays out, but we do know this. It ended in her death. And that's true for every single one of us here in this room, because death is still around. Jesus stepped into creation. He stepped into history. He did things like this. But death still awaits all of us. What do you make of that? In the face of the death of our loved ones, is this story some kind of pathetic platitude? Is it a fairy tale for the foolish, or is it something more? What I want to say to you this evening is this, is that we do see something more here, because this is not just a one-off. This points to what the Christian looks forward to. This points forward to the time when Jesus will roll back death forever. Because wonderfully, our death is not the end of our story. Hebrews chapter 2, Joshua, I wonder if we could put it on the screen behind me. Joshua chapter 2, verses 14 and 15 speak into this. So Hebrews talks about this same Jesus that we're reading about here this evening, but it looks back at his life and his death. And it says this, you can follow on the screen behind me. Talking about Jesus, it says, he himself, that's Jesus, likewise partook of the same things. That basically means that Jesus partook of the same stuff that we have. He had a body just like you and just like me. Why did he have a body? Here's why. That through death, through his own death, he might destroy the one who has the power of death. That is the devil. Did you spot that there? By dying, he destroys death. And verse 15 carries on, so that he might deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. Friends, Jesus doesn't just turn tombs into beds. He does that. But more than that, he goes into the tomb himself and he knows the way out. Through Jesus' own death, he defeated the one who has the power of death and he delivers us from it. That's the astonishing thing about Christianity. It's the astonishing thing that we celebrate at Easter. Easter is coming up soon, isn't it? We celebrate that Jesus died so that death might be defeated once for all. Tim Keller, a famous Christian thinker and pastor, he himself died a few years back, tells this story. He tells a story of a Christian leader who was himself bereaved. His wife had died. He had some children, they had children. And the husband with his children was in a, they were in a car driving down the motorway. It was a sunny day and a big lorry overtook them. The shadow cast from the sun through the lorry passed over the car. And the man said to his kids in the back of the car, he said to them this, "Would you rather be run over by the lorry or by the shadow of that lorry?" I wonder how you would answer that question. The eldest child replies, "Dad, the shadow, of course." And the man replied, "Well, that's what's happened to your mother." Their mother had died. "Only the shadow of death has passed over her, because death itself ran over Jesus." Friends, for the Christian, though we die, we will find that it's just the shadow of death, because Jesus died for us. Matt, you read out John chapter 11, verses 25 to 26, and I've got it down here in my notes. Because at every Christian funeral starts off with those same verses that Matt showed us earlier on. And these are words that Jesus spoke when his friend Lazarus was in the grave. Jesus said this. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though they die, yet shall they live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." Friends, if you're here this evening and you're a Christian, as you pass through death, as we pass through death, we will find that we're not passing into nothingness. We're passing through death into the everlasting arms of God. We're passing into life everlasting. And just as the way that Jesus took the little girl's hand, told her to get up, so shall he do for you. You'll hear his voice. You'll open your eyes. You will see the Lord's kind face. And you will run into his everlasting arms, never to die again. So at the very start, I ask you that question. What hope does Christianity offer us in the face of death? Well, the hope it offers is a person. And his name's Jesus. He's the one who is the resurrection and the life. He's the one who died to defeat death. And he's the one who turns our tombs into beds. And I think that's wonderful news for us to remember. Just as we finish, here's a question for you, a couple of questions for you. Can I ask you, what do you make of this Jesus? He claims to have the life that we're looking for. Can I ask you, will you turn to him for it? Maybe you're sitting there right now and you're thinking to yourself, well, I've still got questions. That's great. And in a moment, Steve's going to introduce our Q&A session, a chance for you to ask those questions. But maybe, just maybe, you came here looking for life. And maybe you've just found it. We're going to take a couple of moments for quiet reflection. Perhaps you want to think about those questions. I'm going to lead us in a final prayer in a moment, but a couple of moments of quiet just as we finish. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for the wonderful Lord Jesus. We thank you that he is the one who is the resurrection and the life. We thank you that he is the one who died to defeat death. And thank you that he is the one who turns our tombs into beds. Father, we come here this evening and we've got so many different emotions going on in our lives, so many thoughts going on in our heads and in our hearts, and so many different things going on in our lives and in the lives of those around us. Father, would you help us to turn to Jesus with all of those things? And Father, I just want to pray for those that are here this evening amongst us who are here and are curious but haven't yet decided to follow this Lord Jesus. Would you help them to see just how wonderful the Lord Jesus is? Would you help them to see that the Lord Jesus has the life that they are looking for? And Father, we pray for our time of question and answer now. Please, would you speak to us through this? And would you help us to be able to ask those big questions that we need to ask? Amen. Amen. Steve.
Thank you, Tim.